And that was really, really, really special. Thank you. It was great to see Joe carrying that flag. Joe, that one year Joe walked in, he was wearing his sailor uniform. And he specifically said, I'm going to wear my uniform to church one year. I don't know if it was a 4th of July or a Memorial Day, one of those. But he came in his wheelchair to church. And I thought, man, you still fit in your uniform. And he leaned forward, and his back was wide open. They had cut it right down the back of his uniform. But he was determined to wear it in honor of military men and women. So praise the Lord for Joe. You know, as I was reflecting on my love for my country, when I was younger, I didn't love my country like I do now. I didn't value it like I do now. I think as a Christian, I've often thought, you know, because our currency has in God we trust, because in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, those things were really embedded into my heart and into my soul. As the character of how I viewed our country, that God had blessed our country because we had put our faith in Him and declared Him as Creator and Lord God Almighty and the nation under Him. But it wasn't until other things happened in my life that changed even or helped me realize even that much more how much I love my country. My brother's funeral and the 21-gun salute and the American flag on his casket, and the knowing that his death was attributed to part of his service for our country, and my father and his stories and things that he endeavored in the war, even physically and emotionally, going to 4 different other countries in my life, not very many, but going off American soil and to other countries and then coming back to the United States, I always had this sense of, you know, I forget which, I think it was Guatemala. I tell you, I was ready to kiss the ground in the airport when I came back, you know. I just said, God has blessed our country so much. And those blessings are, I honestly believe, and I don't think it's just based on my belief, but on the facts of our history of our country, were based upon the faith and the principles that our forefathers developed the structure of the United States on. And oftentimes we think, well, you know, it's, oh, here we go, here's the patriotic historical stuff, it's a holiday, and we kind of get ducks backs, you know, it just kind of rolls off our backs sometimes. But we really need to remember the value of the integrity of men and women that were there to help establish our country. The readings that were said, the quotes, were piercing if you think about the words and the commitment behind them. I know that in watching our American Heritage series in the Wall organization on Sunday nights, that there is several things that I've learned from that. It's been really interesting. But one was that Congress was in or the Senate was in a debate, a discussion. They were formulating and putting together rules and laws for our country. And they weren't seeing eye to eye. And they started to debate more. And they said, you know what, it's time to just cool off, take a recess, take a step back. You know what they did? They agreed to that, but they all went to church. And they went to church services, and they worshiped their God. And when they came back into the Senate to work things, there was a whole different air about their attitude. And they opened not just in cordial prayer, as in to open the event, but they had sustained prayer, and then they had Bible study and studied 4 chapters out of the Bible. And then they refocused on structuring our country. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool to think about that happening in our country today, if that was to be? And so God has blessed our country because of the seed of faith in God that our forefathers and those early settlers and even the states, those early states, had for our country. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for each one here. I want to thank you for how you have truly blessed our country. Father, I don't want to misstate this. In my heart, we're the greatest country in the world. In my mind, I see that slipping. And I pray, Father, please, that you will help your people, your children, believers in Christ, to stand that much more firm on you in their lives, in their families, in their principles in which you teach us, and that those values will not be lost but magnified. And I pray, Father, that our country would remember that the greatness that we have and that we have had is because of you. Help hearts to turn back to you, especially the leaders of our land. Bless this message. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I'm going to say years ago because one would say maybe 50 years ago that these things happened. But really, anywhere before 1926, the majority of the history books that were written about our country included our faith in those historical writings. Our country has, our children have been taught a lot about the financial economics of our history, but they've not heard the faith-based principles of our history in our country because our history has been rewritten in our history books. Years ago, schools prayed, read the Bible, displayed the Ten Commandments, gave God credit. Our government prayed, read the Bible, held worship services in the White House, emphasized a personal walk with the Lord as criteria for leadership. Forefathers and fellow Americans, their primary focus was the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a new world. Sure, economics, finances, taxes, all those things were on the list, but the primary was to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the heart of our forefathers. Godly morals were a must in early American leadership and lifestyle. Most history books written before 1926 revealed these historical facts, as I've already stated. Today, schools, government, and society have rejected God in their midst. We've had sculptures of the Ten Commandments. We've had everything that they can remove out of the presence of government. A disassociation with the great God that we believe in and that we put our faith in. And the hand of God and his blessing on our country is not as rich as it used to be as a result of that. The results of rejecting God's principles is moral, economic, and spiritual decadence or decline. But you know, you and I are the key outside of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his, as the song goes, his arms and his legs. We are the vessels that he wants to work through to declare all the honor and glory that he deserves. But we must go back to sowing those principles that our forefathers sowed. In some ways, I say that, I feel like I'm just almost disconnecting. Because we're thinking, well, yeah, we got the history of our forefathers and the zeal of them and the faith of them, but today is today, and this is the way it is today, and philosophy as it is in the world that we have today, the wisdom of men and not the wisdom of God is seen far more. So how can we really make a difference? Never give up. As believers, we should never give up standing on the Word of God. Never give up learning who Jesus Christ is. Never give up in learning the depths and the riches of his word. Never give up teaching our children godly morals and principles. Never give up in guarding against the influx of society's philosophical influences on our lives. To know the difference between right and wrong based upon the principles of God's word. To be the people that make the distinguished marks of light cutting through darkness. And I love the fact that light, a little tiny light, can cut through the darkest of spots. If I'm in a cave and I can't see this, and I have a match and I light it, I'm glad I got that match. So even though the greatness of the darkness of the world that we live in around us today, because of the decadence or the falling away or the decay of moral value by God's standards has fallen, we as God's people must never give up and be able to stand and do stand for God. Stand in wisdom, stand in courage, stand in love, stand as God's children who love him and live by him and his standards, because that was the heart of our forefathers. To know God's word, to study it, we know that even children in the early schools, to learn the ABCs, the letter A, they would match it to a verse in the Bible that started with the letter A. And each letter of the alphabet was taught based upon a verse that corresponded with the letter that they were studying. The Bible was recognized. God was honored. Credit was given to God as it ought to be. Wherever opportunity was given, whether it be in a personal life, family life, government, wherever, they made the effort to acknowledge our God and our Creator. And you and I are called to do the same today. I honestly have asked myself this question. We're in the last days. We know that the signs of the times are forthcoming, or if not so, already here. We anticipate that Christ might even come back in our life. And we know through eschatological studies in the scriptures that in the last days, these are the signs of the times, the morals, and all the problems that we face today because of men's hearts turning away from God. But that should not discourage us from being the men and women and children of God that God has called us each responsibly to be in our life, in our daily walk, in our families, in our communities, and wherever God wants to use us for him. That's our responsibility, and we're to take it seriously. There's a basic principle in Scripture, we reap what we sow. And so if we think about that, we think about our country was great because what was sowed was great. A faith and an honor and a respect and an integrity in men and women's hearts for God, with a mission and a focus of the gospel being presented and Jesus being magnified and credit given to him wherever the occasion could be given. Early America sowed good seed and God blessed us with good fruit. I honestly believe that that's why our country has been as great as it is. But when seed is not planted that's good, we don't get good fruit. Let's look at the good fruit. In Galatians 6, 8b, the second part of verse 8 through 9, it says, the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Gee, those forefathers in those early states of our nation, as they focused on God and focused on the gospel and focused on a right relationship with him, they sowed those morals and those values and God's principles that was different than any other nation in the world. And God blessed. And many came to know the Lord as well. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. You know, it's funny how God lays things on your heart. Because I forget how long ago it was, but someone in our church was on the phone with me and said, Pastor, do not grow weary in doing good. And that branded in my heart. I knew it, but at that point, it just stuck there. and it has stayed there with me. And you and I should do the same. Do not grow weary in being Christians of good integrity for the Lord, if that makes sense. Don't grow weary in being the people of God and standing on the truth of God's word and being a light and being a salt and speaking out when God calls us to and teaching what is right to our children, our families, and our neighbors. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I think America, for the most part, has given up on planting good seed. The seed that made our country great. That seed needs to be propagated. That seed is God's word. That seed is our life living in Christ and Him living through us. And Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. You know, that's a backhanded way of looking at good seed. But as we yield ourselves to God and don't yield ourselves to our sinful nature, we are applying the principles and truth of God's word to our life, living and walking with Jesus step by step. That makes a difference in how we live and how we affect our families and our communities and the country that we live in, even the world that we are a part of. And so in that case, we have been planting good seed when we live as God has called us to live. Even though the tide of our country and our world around us is becoming stronger against us. But we have God who holds us up. We have God who is our strength. We have God who will encourage us to be the men and women and children of faith that God has called us to be, though the odds are stacked against us from a worldly perspective. But from a godly perspective, there are no odds stuck against us. We already have that victory in Christ. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. When our forefathers and those early settlers and even those early states that formed our nation and those that followed stood to the truth of God's word, the spirit in America was one of joy and pride. I don't see that joy and pride in America today. You know what I'm saying? I see the despair and the heartache of what America is becoming. You don't see the peace in our schools, where when our parents sent us to school, we knew they were safe. You don't see that anymore like we used to. We don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how many times, especially when we had all those bomb threats there for a while, and those kids were evacuated from the schools, and the kids that I know, like Emily and Lauren and Wyatt and all you kids, you know, and I'm walking around the school and I'm just praying, you know, and praying that there would be no bomb threats this year. But that was something that we didn't think of before the Ten Commandments were taken out of schools. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, a willingness to endure and to work hard, a kindness to neighbors, a goodness and an attitude and focus, a faithfulness and a gentleness and self-control. These were some of the things that overflowed in the character of our communities and in family life. Probably more so in generations past than generations that we have touched or that have touched us. But that good seed was planted. And that good seed of faith and commitment to God with all earnestness is the seed that made our country great. God blessed it. If we look at that passage about sowing seed, you know, we think about what God said. God says, you know, you can plant and you can water, but who is it that gives the increase? God. So when we're faithful and we're planting these values in our families and marriages and communities and country and world, God gives the increase. God blesses that. And He did But today, we're pulling back from that. America today, fruit of our forefathers, damaged by unrepented sin. The cocky arrogance that says God's way stinks. Our way is right. I mean, that's kind of crude, but isn't that what the world says? You take God's standard and you say, and they look at it and laugh and they criticize it. But they think that they're so liberal and free and got their acts together because they can see things with a much more broader, clearer understanding. Instead of the clear, narrow scope of God's standard, the world doesn't like a clear, narrow scope. The world likes an obscure, broad channel that has no real distinction. Galatians 6, 7 through 8 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. It's amazing to me how people think they can look at God and look at his word and say, kind of childish, raspberry it, throw it to the wind, say, I don't care, I disagree, and not be afraid of the consequence. God will not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. I'm going to catch a rabbit and follow it here just a little bit. You know what I mean? Offshoot. And what I say may sound kind of crude or hard, but it's a concern. And only you and I know where we're at in this, in regard to this statement. Church is not a game. Neither is our Christian walk. God will not be mocked. Sometimes I think people come to church because they want to have some sort of absolving presence of the Spirit because of the week that they lived. I've done my duty. I've come to church. God should bless me. Now I live the way I want to. Or church is not really that big of a deal. It's just something extra that we think we ought to do. Maybe God bless us for it. Church is not a game. Christian walk is not a game. It certainly wasn't a game or the Christian lifestyle game in the hearts and the minds of our forefathers and those states that formed our union. It was the integrity and the depth of the richness of the knowledge and of Jesus Christ and his word that integrated and imbued their lives that made our country great. The seriousness and the commitment to be the men and women that God has called us to be has great value. And only you know and I know how and where and how deep our commitment is to Jesus Christ. But it's the most important thing that we can do. You feel at loss because you feel like maybe we're just nobodies that can't really make a difference in our country. But when we take our walk with Jesus continuously more serious than before, we grow closer to Christ and deeper in knowledge and the wisdom of God. It is the hope of America. You and I are the hope of America in Christ. Because it's through our faithful obedience to him that seeds will plant and God will bless. Your prayers aren't empty. Your prayers aren't useless or ineffective. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we're walking with God in fellowship with God, loving God, walking in step with God, guess what? Our prayers are powerful. So when we pray for our president, when we pray for our country, when we pray for the morals of our land, when we pray for our children and our schools and everything else that's troubling us about the world that we live in, especially right here in the borders of America, your prayers are powerful. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Now, ask yourself if our world fits these characteristics. Because it didn't really fit the other ones, did it? the good fruit. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that live like that are not looking toward delight, not looking toward Christ, but taking in the joy of sin. We all know that sin is fun. But sin destroys. And when we yield our lives to God, God blesses. Our country reflects the heart of its people. What you see in the media, what you see in our schools, what you see in our communities, what you see. And unfortunately, you see more than I do, because you work in that secular field. You live in that secular world with your coworkers and everything else around you. I'm not as enveloped by that as you are. But we need to remember that our country reflects the heart of its people. The effects of sin will be seen in our lives, in our country, and in our world. And so we've got that sowing principle of sowing good seed or sowing bad seed. We see the effects of good seed and its impact on our country and its history. And we see the impact of bad seed and the effects of it in the world we live in today. And we see the challenge for you and I not to give up doing that which is good and being God's people. Hope for America is a right focus on God. You say, Pastor, will it ever get there? I really had to ask myself that question. I'm thinking, am I kidding myself to promote this from the pulpit in a message? Is there hope for America? We're in the last days. We know it's coming. We know it's going to get worse. It's snowballing down. We really can't do anything. Guess what? That's not the point. The point is that if we can be what God has called us to be, it's going to touch other people. If our families are healthier, it might touch another family. It might touch our community. And as we yield our lives to God, it can make a difference. How much, we don't know, but our responsibility is to be faithful to God. A hope for America is a right focus on God. Proverbs 3:25 and 26 says, "Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked." Do you ever feel that overwhelming sense with the world that we live in today? We just kind of like, you know, it knocks you down. God says, "Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked." Now, who are you and who am I? If we're walking with Jesus, well, technically, if we're saved, we're not counted for the wicked. But to be effective Christians, we need to walk in step with Jesus. And so, again, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared or caught, in the Hebrew, or being caught. It means whatever challenges that we face, whatever circumstances that envelop us, that overwhelm us because of the world that we live in today, to keep our heart right with God, keep our heart focused on God, be the people God has called us to be, and through that disaster or through that overwhelming circumstance in your life, we will have confidence, not in ourselves, not in the world that we live in, but in our Savior who gives us peace. When we call on Him, when we make sure our heart is right with Him, when we listen to Him, God will give us wisdom from His throne, not the wisdom of man. God will give us insights that are personal to us, that we need. He will give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight and the peace and the courage that we need to be His people, to stand in confidence even when disaster hits, and we'll be able to go to bed at night and sleep through the night and not live in fear of that which is hitting us. If we can lay down at His throne, if we know our heart is right with God, we know our Father loves us, which He does, we can go to bed knowing that our Father will take care of us by giving us the courage and the grace to stand whatever comes. Now, I want to clarify that because I've been thinking about old Polycarp, not to make an irreverent tone toward him because he was a godly man. But Polycarp quoted, said, 86 years I've walked with the Lord, and I will not deny Him now, as He burned alive at the stake. He had a confidence and a peace even while He burned alive. The world can't give that. But you and I can have a steady confidence and peace through anything that hits us when we envelop ourselves in our Lord and allow Him to envelop us. God's wisdom is the basis for the believer's peace of mind and removes fear. God's wisdom is the basis for the believer's peace of mind and removes fear. But we only get that wisdom by walking close to Him, taking Him seriously, living for Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, most of us know, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Question, is that something that is out of reach for America? It's a promise from God, so it's not out of reach. We don't know God's plan. You know, Paul thought it was the last days, the Lord's coming now. That was the first century church. There are plenty of times in world history where things got so ugly, people were saying, God's got to be coming back now. And then countries turned around, things and situations change. Only God knows the time. So let me conclude with this. The consequences of rejecting God and His word in our lives and nation is pain, suffering, and destruction. We see that today. Pray for the healing of our land, whether Christians in America or Christians in other countries. Be the people of God. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word and Your spirit that gives insight and comfort and courage. And help us to be all that You would have each one of us to be, distinctively in our own character and our own circumstances, that we will be faithful to be the people that You would have us to be, that will reflect You and bring You honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.